Texas to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church PA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Today is special, as I mentioned, because we look back at what happened over 2,000 plus years ago, and we reflect on the resurrection. And as I always say around here, everything that we do is pointing back to Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. Like our church is, it's not about the Bridge Church. It's not about myself as the pastor. It's not about any one person. It's all about Jesus. And we want to get people to Jesus, man. That's what we do. That's what we do, and that's what we're about. But this series is really designed, I hope, to speak life into you. So if this is your first time here, you came on a perfect Sunday, because we're starting a brand new series today called Resurrect. And so today I'm actually going to read from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. And we actually have it on the screen in case you guys don't have a Bible, or if you don't have it on your phone, we have it provided for you on the screen so that way you could follow along. But it says this, that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here." And we got it on the screen so everybody can follow along. Let's read it together. "He has risen." I thought I would get a few amens there and a few claps right there celebrating. He has risen. Come on, say it like you mean it. He has risen. That's what it's about. That's what we're celebrating today. And then it says there, not too long after that, "He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then verse 8 says, "Then they remembered his words." And so if you're taking notes today, you notice in the worship guide, we gave you a little card where you can take notes along and kind of follow along and stuff like that. But we're simply calling this message part one of this series, The Resurrected Life. The Resurrected Life. Because the thing that God wants you and I to experience today more than anything else, and not just today, but for every day, is to live this resurrected life. What does it mean to resurrect? Resurrect just simply means to bring life into something. To rise up again. To speak life into a particular situation. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at a few different areas that God wants to resurrect and how the resurrection of Jesus impacts our lives. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that you'll notice that when you leave out of here, we're going to give you a card that has the different topics and sermon titles that'll be kind of taking place over the next few weeks. So that way you can kind of get a sneak peek into the things that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks. But we want to talk about how the resurrection of Jesus impacts every aspect of our lives. Because God didn't just resurrect Jesus from the grave so that way you could say, "I believe in him and I'm going to heaven." God resurrected Jesus from the grave so that way you could experience the resurrected life in every area of your life. So that way you could begin to live a life that is resurrected. And some of us in here, we came in here today struggling with different situations. You came in here up against the wall. You came in here battling certain issues and battling certain addictions. And you've been asking yourself, "How in the world can I break out of this?" And here's the good news that you need to know today, if you don't get anything else. If God could get Jesus out of the grave after 3 days, he can handle the situation that you find yourself in right now. It's okay to clap. We can clap in here. If God was faithful to get his son Jesus out of the grave in 3 days, he can handle the issues, the stresses, the battles that you're facing right now. In other words, there's nothing that you and I face right now that is too hard for God. But here's the thing, that many of us in life, we're just existing. We're just existing. We're not really living. We're trying to make ourselves come alive. We make ourselves try to come alive, and we try to make ourselves new by all these different methods. And so we'll work more hours thinking that that will make us come alive. We'll try to get more money thinking that that will help us come alive. We'll try to get more possessions thinking that that will help us come alive. We'll start new relationships and find a new relationships thinking that all these things will lead to new life. And none of those things are inherently bad. But the thing I want us to understand today is that there's only one who can give you new life, and his name is Jesus. There's only one who can resurrect you, and his name is Jesus. And through the resurrection of Jesus, we can go from just existing to finally living. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life just existing. No, I want to live. Just by show of hands, how many of you guys don't want to exist? You actually want to live. Some of you guys are like, you know, type A personality. You're like, I'm living right now. You see me breathing. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about living life to the fullness. I'm talking about walking in the purpose that God has for your life. I'm talking about becoming the person that God has called and created you to be. I'm talking about transformation taking place in your marriage. I'm talking about transformation taking place on your job. I'm talking about this resurrected life that takes you from just existing and just checking the box and just clocking in to work 9 to 5 every day, and every day, to now moving to living the life that God had always called you to live. That's what God wants to give you today. That's what this series is all about. It's not about you just coming to church service this morning. Matter of fact, this is awesome that you're doing this today. If you're a part of our church, this is great that you're here today. But my hope and prayer is that today will be the start of a new journey for you. Maybe this is your first time here in months. Maybe you haven't been here in a year or whatever the case may be. But let today be the start of a new beginning. Because I believe that God has greater for you. I believe that there's something amazing that God wants to do for you. And so when we look at this text here in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, we begin to see how the resurrection of Jesus impacts and shapes every dynamic and every aspect of our lives. So let's look at verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Now, in Jewish custom, you got to understand how they kind of did things and how weeks were broke up. Saturday was technically the end of the previous week, and Sunday was the beginning of a new week. And so typically the reason why churches and we gather on Sundays to worship God, not to say that you can't worship outside of Sunday, but the reason why Sundays is the almost the focal point of the church as it relates to corporate worship and coming together is because it was on this day where people saw the resurrected King named Jesus. It was very early in the morning, it says. And the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Notice what Luke helps us understand here. The women were not expecting to see a resurrected king. They were expecting to see somebody who was just brutally murdered on a cross for people who didn't deserve it. They were prepared to go into a place to prepare and to give honor and to pay homage to their Lord, to their teacher, to their rabbi. And the list goes on and on. In other words, in contemporary language, they were preparing for a funeral. Bringing spices to the tomb was the equivalent of going to a gravesite and paying your respects to a loved one. So they didn't go here with much expectation. And maybe for some of us in here today, you didn't come here with a whole lot of expectation. Maybe you kind of came here thinking, oh, it's going to be the same thing as usual. I'm going to get the same message that I've heard plenty of times if I've been a part of a church or gone to a church service. But it was something interesting that happens next in verse 2. It says this, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. These women go to the tomb, expecting to see Jesus wrapped in these clothes, in these grave clothes, so that way they could pay homage to him by bringing these spices and preparing his body for a proper burial, but they get there only to find out that not only had the stone been rolled away, but that Jesus himself isn't there. In other words, they had an expectation of one thing, but they went and saw something completely different. I don't know if you've ever been in a point in life before where you were looking for certain things to be a certain way only to find out that it didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. And let's just be honest, typically when that typically happens in our life, the first thing that we do is we say, it did not work out the way that I wanted it to work out. It did not happen the way that I wanted it to happen. But could it possibly be that the reason why it did not happen the way you wanted it to happen was because God has something so much better to bring forth to you? On the surface, this looked like a failure. But from God's perspective, this was perfect. The women went to the grave, went to the tomb, preparing for a funeral, when God had already prepared a victory parade. The empty tomb was not a reflection that God had failed. The empty tomb was proof and evidence that love won. That was the whole proof of it. But the women, they couldn't see it. And typically, when we're just looking at a situation just on the surface, we typically can't see it as well, because we just go by what we see. But God wants them to see the resurrected Jesus. He wants them to see the resurrected life of Jesus. Why? So that they could experience this resurrected life. The reason why you are here today, I believe, deep down inside, is not just because you wanted to check a box saying that I went to church on Easter Sunday. No, I believe deep down inside that you want something different from your life. I believe that you want to see change take place in your life. I believe that you want to see transformation take place in your life. I believe that you want to see breakthrough take place in your life. And here's the good news. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. God brought you here today not to send you out with bad news, but to send you out with good news about the resurrection of Jesus. What does the resurrected life of Jesus teach us? What does the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus teach us? Two things that I'm just going to share, and then we'll be done. Number one, the resurrected life of Jesus is a life of victory. When you look at verses 4-6, notice what happens. After they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Hold on, pause. I don't know about you guys. This would freak me out. It was just me and my crew. And then all of a sudden, two dudes, they got like this lightning type of force around them, some Star Wars type stuff. This would freak me out. Which is why later on the text says they were frightened. Let's be honest. It says that they gleam like lightning. I don't know about y'all. I don't like lightning. Some of y'all are like, you know, like adrenaline junkies. You're like, I love thunder and lightning. I don't. Ask my wife. I'm almost like old school. When it starts thundering and lightning, let's go in the closet, turn off all the lights, and sit still and wait on the Lord. Right? Right? These women, they were scared, because out of nowhere, these two men, and from the other gospel accounts that have this same story, just with different details, from the other gospel accounts, we know that it was some angels that had actually showed up. But it says, in their flight, the women, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. That seems like an appropriate response if some dudes randomly just pop up. And the earth shakes when they pop up, according to one of the other gospel accounts. And notice what the angel says to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Here's what he's saying. The resurrected life is a life of victory. And I don't want us to gloss over the fact that he is risen, because I think a lot of times you can see it on bumper stickers, and you can see it on Facebook, and you can see it on Instagram. Matter of fact, if you were like leaving your house, maybe you saw some people with some yard signs saying he is risen, the corny Christian flags, whatever the case may be. I don't want us just to dismiss it. He has risen is a big deal. It's a big deal. The women, they were prepared for a funeral procession, but God had prepared a victory parade. He was essentially parading around death, saying, death, I have defeated you once and for all. It is a victory. That's what the resurrected life represents. Here's what Romans 6:9 says. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has power or mastery over him. Here's the question I want to ask you is this. If God has power over death, the grave, victory over sin and Satan and wickedness and evil, do you not think that the Lord can handle whatever you are in right now? Let me just kind of like jump into your life. Some of us, you've been praying. You were praying yesterday. God, would you make a way financially? God, would you open up a door? God, would you send this person? God, would you bless me with this job? And I believe that the Lord is sitting in heaven, arms crossed, like, that's it? Like, really? That's best you got? Do you not know what I did when I raised my son Jesus from the grave? It's evidence and a victory over everything in this world that can come against you. And that just as God raised Jesus from the dead and was victorious, he wants to do the same for you through the resurrection of Jesus. That this resurrected life in Jesus, he wants to give to you. Some of us don't even believe that. Here's what the scripture says in Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. In other words, you and I were, at first, we were born into sin, shaped in iniquity. We were eternally separated from God with no hope whatsoever. That's why Paul says that you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, talking about Satan, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, all of us, all of us. The last time I checked, all means all. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. The only thing that we deserved from God for our sin was to be eternally separated from God. And that would be bad news if the story stopped there. But look at verse 4. But because of his great love, God's got a lot of buts in the Bible, and he cannot lie. Though Satan may try to deny. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us, watch what he says, alive with Christ. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace. In other words, it is an act of love. It is a free gift that God has given you. Not because you deserved it. No, because God loves you and he is good and he is faithful and he is merciful and he is gracious. That is why he did it for you. That is why. And check this out. It gets better. And God raised us up with Christ. Do y'all see the difference here? That the resurrected life wasn't just about God resurrecting Jesus from the grave, but it was also him wanting to resurrect you from your impoverished state spiritually. He wanted to raise you to life. So he says he raises us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You were spiritually dead. I was spiritually dead. But when God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, but when God resurrected Jesus from the grave through what Jesus accomplished, we can now be made alive. Not because of what you do. It's all because of what God has done. And some of us in here are thinking, but I'm not that bad of a person. I'm good. God has to surely love me. Here's the thing I want you to understand. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. That's why he came. And all of us in here, prior to being in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, by his grace, were spiritually dead. But because God is rich in mercy, he has now made us alive in Christ Jesus, and he wants to exchange our spiritually dead life for his resurrected life. And the question that I would ask you today is this: do you have the resurrected life of Jesus on the inside of you? And some of us are already going through the checklist in our minds. We're saying, I go to church, so I have it. I know a few scriptures, so I have it. That's not what it means to have the resurrected life of Jesus on the inside of you. It means that by grace, through faith, I am saved. I have a relationship with God. Jesus now lives in me through the presence of his Holy Spirit. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about you even going to church. It's not about checking the list. It's all about, do you have Jesus? The resurrected King. The resurrected Lord. Romans 8:31 says this, because God conquered death, the grave, sin, and evil through the resurrection of Jesus and wants to do the same thing for you. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And later on, six verses later in verse 37, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so in other words, God is saying, I want to give you victory. And the reason and the way that I can do that is because I raised my son Jesus from the grave on the third day. And whatever now is true of Jesus, through faith, becomes true of you. In other words, if Jesus got up from the grave on the third day because of the power of the Holy Spirit, through the working of the Father, what is a light bill to God? What is a struggle to God? Did you come in feeling defeated? Did you come in feeling deflated? You're going to work tomorrow and you already have a negative prognosis of how it's going to be. But the good news is that in Christ Jesus, you can overcome what has already overtaken you through Christ Jesus. And the message that I want us to leave with today is knowing that I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul was saying Philippians 4:13, which is like a bumper tag and a bumper sticker scripture that many people know. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why? Because he resurrected from the grave on the third day. That is why. You have victory. In Christ Jesus, you can live a victorious life. In other words, you weren't meant to just walk around with your head down any longer. You weren't meant to just walk around saying, woe is me. You're not meant to just settle for the status quo. No, you say, God has given me dominion through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That I'm not settling for the mediocre life anymore. No, 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 no. God, through Christ Jesus, has now made me the head and not the tail. God has now opened up windows of heaven and poured me out blessings. And I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about material. No, I'm talking about these eternal riches that never run dry, that never corrode, that always stay shining, like I like to say. That's the life that God wants you to live, a life of victory. And through Jesus, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. There was an old church hymn that would say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And some of you guys who have old church background, you've been a part of a church for some time, you remember singing that thing on the ones and twos, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Some of you guys are like, what is that? Just go Google it. But it's true. You weren't called to live a defeated life. You were called to live a victorious life. So what are you settling for right now in your life? What are you saying? Oh, it's dead. It can't come back. What do you mean it can't? What do you mean it's dead? When you look at that empty tomb, when you look at the fact that the body of Jesus wasn't there and that he was resurrected, it is proof that you can live a life of victory. God has called you to live this life of victory. But not only is it a life of victory, it's also a life of fulfillment. Notice what verses 6 through 7 says, the second part of verse 6. Remember how he told you while he was with you still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now, when we just look at this verse, it's easy just to kind of gloss over this and think, oh, it's not a big deal. No, 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 no. He says, remember what he told you? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners. By the way, the hands of sinners, those weren't just people back then. That was all of us. We were the ones that had the nails in our hands. We were the ones that had the hammers in our hands. We were the ones that were shouting, crucify him. We were the ones that opposed God. That was us. So insert yourself where it says, those sinners, the sinful people, that was you and I. But check this out. It says that he must be crucified and on the third day be raised again, the Son of Man, another title for Jesus. Here's what the angel is saying. Do you not realize that God did exactly what he said he would do? In other words, do you not realize that he fulfilled the promise that he made? Matter of fact, numerous times in scripture before Jesus even went to the cross, he constantly told the disciples, the Son of Man, hey guys, so I'm not going to be with you always. I'm going to die, but in 3 days, I'm going to come back. And he said this over and over and over again. But you never see the disciples expecting that to happen. But even in the midst of their expectation or in the midst of them not trusting what God has said, God still fulfilled the promise that he made. Here's the thing that I want us to understand about this. Whatever promise that God has made to your life, he is faithful to fulfill it in your life. And some of us in here are like, God promised me something years ago. He made a declaration over my life years ago, but I still haven't seen it come to pass. Here's the thing that I want us to understand. Even though it may be dark right now, the sun, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, will rise in the morning. Your life may be dark right now. It may be hopeless right now. But if God has made a promise to you and over your life, he will fulfill it. Why? Because he fulfilled the promise that he made to raise Jesus back to life. Jesus resurrecting from the dead, just it wasn't about God's victory over Satan. It was a fulfillment of what Jesus said he would do. And here's the thing that I want us to understand. The empty tomb was not a failure. It was a fulfillment of what God had said. What are the things in your life that you are deeming failures right now? Because cloaked in what you think is a failure may actually be paving way to a fulfillment. What you may be writing off, God may be saying, hold on. Don't put a period there. Put a comma. The thing that you're saying, it's done. God is saying, it's not done yet. It's not over yet. There is still something that God wants to do in your life. And the thing that God wants you to know today is that he will fulfill it. I was talking to a few years ago, and they were constantly trying to have kids. They were trying to get pregnant. And through years of trying and trying, they could not get pregnant. It was catastrophic. It was an emotional roller coaster. Just when they thought they were pregnant, they had a miscarriage. And they had miscarriage after miscarriage. But years ago, they knew that God had called them to have a child, that God had promised to bring forth a child. And just when they thought it was over, they said, you know what, maybe it's God calling us to adopt. And that's not a bad thing. Maybe God wants us to take up foster care. And then they decided one day, let's try one last time. And they try, and they go to the doctor, because the wife was having some symptoms, and she didn't really know what was going on. And the doctor, who had told them numerous times she would never be able to have a child, told them, we hear a heartbeat. The promise that God spoke well before miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage, the promise that God had made that through time looked like God was not going to be faithful to his promise, came out of nowhere where God fulfilled the very thing that he spoke over their lives years before they experienced the lower life. And I say that to prove to you and to help you understand that whatever God has said over your life, he will perform it. He will do it. He will bring it to pass. And the only thing he's asking us to do is to trust him. That's it. And the reason why we can trust him is because if God was faithful to raise Jesus from the grave on the third day, he will also be faithful to raise us and to speak life into dead situations. This resurrection account isn't just some like hocus pocus type of mythical type of thing. No. There is more historical and eyewitness account for the resurrection of Jesus than any other event in human history. All throughout the scripture, you have countless and hundreds of people who saw Jesus resurrected. You see the women here in this tomb. Later on in scripture, in another gospel account, they would actually meet Jesus. To not believe the resurrection of Jesus takes more faith than to actually believe it. Because the evidence is insurmountable. It's fact and truth. And the truth that our Savior Jesus rose on the third day is the foundation of our faith. Matter of fact, here's what the Apostle Paul says. For what I received, 1 Corinthians 15, I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins. Watch what he says. According to the scriptures. Do y'all see what's happening there? Jesus died according to the scriptures. In other words, God spoke it, then he fulfilled it through Jesus dying. But he doesn't stop there. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day. According to the scriptures. Paul says, I'm giving you this account. And matter of fact, the one Paul who is actually writing these words to the believers in Corinth, he's saying, I'm not just telling you this because this is something that I've heard. But in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, who was once known as Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, who hated God, who hated Jesus, who hated the church, he came face to face with the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. He faced him, and he saw Jesus for himself. And I believe that God has brought you here today because he wants to bring you face to face with the resurrection of Jesus. That the resurrection of Jesus is not something that you just know, but the resurrection of Jesus is something that you have. That's what God wants to do. He wants to fulfill this in your life. Fulfillment is not about getting what you want. Fulfillment is not about making more money. Fulfillment is not about getting the clothes that you want. Fulfillment is not about getting the new hair. Fulfillment is not about getting new clothes. No, fulfillment is experiencing the promises that God made in your life. That is true fulfillment. And that is what God wants to bring into your life. Here's another interesting thing that's interesting about this text. The first people to actually see the risen Savior, you would think that it would have been Peter or James or John. No. It was the women who followed Jesus. Now, before you kind of write this off and say, what's the big deal about that? Here was the big deal. In this first century Jewish context of the Greco-Roman world, women were considered to not have a valid testimony at all. They considered to be women emotionally unstable people back in that time. And I don't really know why, because fellas, we can be extremely emotionally unstable and moody, probably more than anybody else. Like, ask my wife, I had a sore throat this morning. Can you get me some honey and some lemon? I don't feel like doing nothing. Just moody, just emotionally unstable. But isn't it interesting that Jesus would reveal himself and show himself to the women? What is that to show us? That Jesus was fulfilling what he said long ago. That the gospel, that he came not just for a certain group of people, but he came for all people. Male, female, white, black, Asian, Latino, that the kingdom of God is a reflection of the multi-ethnic, multi-generational family of God. Revelation 5:9 says, every nation, tribe, and tongue will be gathered around the throne of Jesus, singing a new song unto him. In other words, Jesus, through his death, he has fulfilled the promise that he said, I am going to tear down the dividing wall of hostility, and I'm letting everybody come be a part of my family. No matter if you're male or female, boy or girl, rich, poor, voted for Trump, didn't vote for Trump, there's room for everybody. Some of y'all are like, I don't know about them. No. Jesus came for everybody. And this account of the women going to the tomb, being the first ones to testify of the resurrection, which is why later on in scripture, he would reveal himself to them and he would tell them, go tell my brothers who are hanging out in a house locked up because they're scared that they're going to get found out that they're one of my disciples. Go tell them. Go tell them that I'm alive and that I'm coming to see them. Could you imagine them coming to bring the words to Peter and James and John and all of them? Hey guys, we saw Jesus. He got a bone to pick with you. Because y'all ain't believe. Could you imagine them? Right, this is my contemporary version. Could you imagine them? Peter, we believe Jesus, even though you didn't. He alive. We tried to tell you, but you didn't want to believe. He tried to tell you multiple times, but you ain't believe. Where were you at the cross, Peter, when our Lord and Savior was being crucified? Oh, that's right, Peter. You said, I don't know Jesus. And you started cussing a little girl out because she accused you of knowing Jesus plenty of times. But Jesus, he's my risen Savior. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine how sassy they're probably getting? That's how I look at it. But in all seriousness, God orchestrated all of this to fulfill his promise. And Jesus made you a promise to give you life that can be fulfilled in your life if you receive it by faith. Here's what Jesus says in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your enemy, Satan. In other words, your enemy is not your coworker. Your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not your family member. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your kids. As much as they get on your nerves, they are not your enemy. Satan is the enemy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to rob you of life. He wants to disrupt everything in your life. But here's what Jesus says, but I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. Jesus made a promise to give us life. And if you've ever felt robbed by life, if you've ever felt empty on the inside, if you've ever felt lost, here's the good news. Jesus came to promise you, to make a promise that he will give you life. And you may be here today and have been thinking that you feel dead, you feel lost, you feel hopeless, but today that can change. And I hear what some of us are saying in our heads right now, but I know about Jesus. I've heard about this before. I've heard about this resurrection story. I've grown up in church. I've heard sermons on this before. And if that's what you're thinking right now, or you've been thinking this throughout the message, you have missed Jesus. Many of you know it, but don't have it. Some of us have thought that we had it, but are quickly realizing that we don't have it. Why? Because you're not living a life of victory. You're not living a life of joy. You're living life as if Jesus is still in the tomb. You're still living a defeated life. You're still in a defeated posture. But Jesus says, today, you can take hold of this resurrected life that I have to give you. You can take hold of the promise that I've made. And the reason you, because then the reason why he's brought you here today is so that way you can walk out of here with life just like he got up out of the tomb with life. That's why you're here. And if there's one thing that I want you to get in your heart and a tattoo on your heart, is that the resurrection is more than just an event. And I think this is where people get tripped up, because people get so focused on the event being the resurrection. It's bigger than the event. Matter of fact, Jesus says this before he would be crucified. He says this to some of his other disciples after he performed this great miracle, resurrected Lazarus from the grave, one of his closest friends. Notice what he says in John 11 and 25, and I'm going to close with this. Ben, you guys can come up. Notice what he says. I am the resurrection. I am the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Hold on, that doesn't make any sense, Jesus. What is he saying? All of us in here, we are going to physically die. But what Jesus is promising is a life that outlasts even the death that we'll die. That we now have this eternal relationship with God. And he wants us to understand that it's bigger than just the resurrection event. He wants us to know that he himself is the resurrection. The resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. And so if you walk out of here knowing about the event without knowing the person, you've missed the entire aspect and the entire power of what happened here in Luke chapter 24. But if you walk out of here saying, I know about the event, but more importantly, I know the person of the resurrection. And his name is Jesus. And the question that I want to ask all of us here today is not do you know the event, but do you know the person? Have you received the person? Because when you begin to say this, that I want to know him personally, not just know about him, your life will be forever changed. Your sins will be forgiven. Your past will be wiped away. You will be made new in the light, in the eyesight and in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, that any person who is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Which means it doesn't matter who you used to be. That old you died and is buried, but God has raised you to new life in Christ. So when you receive this resurrection life into your life, you are now made whole. Everything that is true of Jesus is now true of you. God doesn't look at you as a sinner. He looks at you as a son and as a daughter. And I hear what some of us are saying. I've done some terrible things. I've slept around. I've done this. I've done that. And Jesus says, I know. I knew that when I died on the cross 2,000 plus years ago. And my blood is much stronger than the sin that you participated in. My love is much greater than the iniquity that you carry around. My grace is much greater than all of your transgressions. Your sin is great, but my love is greater. Your transgressions were great, but my grace is stronger. And he proves that through the resurrection. So the question I want to ask us here today, so are you ready to receive this resurrected life? Do you want to receive Jesus into your life? He's inviting you to walk out of the tomb of death with him and live this life through him. So I'm going to ask us with every head bowed, every eye closed. Today is all about you receiving this life of Christ. Today is all about you receiving what Jesus has to offer. It's not about what you've done. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. He wants you to experience victory. And he wants you to live a life of fulfillment. He wants you to be satisfied, not by the things that you accomplish, but he wants you to be fulfilled and satisfied by what he already has accomplished for you. And today he's saying, this can happen for you. And so if you're here today and you're saying, I want this resurrected life of Christ. I want to receive Jesus into my life. I don't want to live a life of defeat anymore. I want to live a life of victory. I don't want to be defined by what I did anymore. I want to be defined by his grace. I want to be defined by his mercy. I want to be defined by his love. If that's you, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to make it really simple. All I want you to do right where you are, while heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, I want you just to do something brave for me. If you could, just lift up your hand saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Awesome. I see your hands. Awesome. Awesome. Go ahead and lift up your hand if that's you. I just want to pray over you really quick. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or anything. If that's you, amen. I see your hands. Awesome. 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 If you just raise your hands and give Jesus your life, I want you to say this after me. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of confession. There's nothing magical about this prayer. What it's about is you confessing and believing in your heart that Christ Jesus is Lord, and that you believe that he rose from the grave after dying for your sins on the cross, and that when you do such, you are now new. So if you lifted up your hand, pray this prayer. Father, I give you my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that he rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have life and life abundantly. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord and that he is my Savior. And so I receive this resurrected life, this life of victory, this life of fulfillment in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for those who made a decision this morning. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision just now to give Christ your life, you have made the greatest decision that a person could ever make. You have received Christ into your life. Here's what the scripture says, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the grave on the third day, you will be saved. And so we believe that if you made that profession of faith, you are now a new creature.